Hey, Rashi, what are you doing?
Sharpening all my ink pens.
Oh, really? How come?
Because Comic-Con's next week, and if Robert Downey Jr.'s there, I'm going to stab someone in the face.
Oh, boy. Hi, this is Paul Dini.
This is Misty Lee, and I am not letting him go to Office Depot anymore.
Good. And I don't think we should allow him anywhere near San Diego.
The one instance of violence at Comic-Con, and he just grabs onto it and throttles it. The joke's a year old.
I know, but think about all the acts of violence he has been responsible for over the years.
Oh, there is that.
Yeah, it's surprising he wasn't involved in that.
Yeah, well...
Enter slow montage of people wincing and backing away from the monkey.
Yeah. So many, most of the professionals we know of now. Is that monkey with you? Good. You know, or leave the monkey at home, that sort of thing.
There is that, too.
Are we going to take Rashi with us? Sure.
You can.
Well, okay.
If we take Rashi, we're taking separate cars and you're on your own.
I'll just leave him with a house sitter and have him, assassinate the house sitter.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
There might not be a house to come back to.
Oh.
Well, okay. We better take Rashi. We can always trank him and drop him at the San Diego Zoo. He's got a holding cage at the San Diego Zoo when he gets too violent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A cage permanently for him?
Yes.
Well, it's next to the Saki monkeys. There's the S.A. K.I. monkeys, and next to that is one for the sock monkeys.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So he does have a place to go with his relatives there.
So are you excited for Comic-Con?
Meh.
Oh, meh. Pee you with your meh. Why don't you just look at this face. Look at how guilty this slow Grinch-like smile started creeping across his face.
That's like asking a six-year-old, are you excited for Christmas?
Meh.
Santa, I can take him or leave.
Oh, jeez.
I am excited for Comic-Con because there's some fun stuff happening. I don't know if... we said that we weren't going to do the marathon this year and do all 4 days. And I think that's wise because the last few years, I've just sort of dragged away, dragged myself home, just out of it.
That last day gets really tough.
Yeah, yeah. It's a sort of a marathon. No, I'm looking forward to it, actually. Last year, we were both profiled in that movie.
You were profiled. I just had my picture taken with you.
I know, but the book is on the way. I saw the book, and this is a Comic-Con part four, A Fan's Hope. This is the book by Morgan Spurlock and Stan Lee and Harry Knowles. And,
The guy who did Supersize Me and the 30 Days show or something like that.
And he just did a movie now called I don't know, something about selling movies to Hollywood. A new documentary. But he was working on this one last year, and I thought it was going to be out this time, but I talked to Harry the other night. He said that it'll probably be out more toward the fall. But they're releasing a book of it already, and apparently we're both in the book. So
And you ordered it on Amazon, so I'm excited to see it when it comes in. Yeah. It was really, the photographer was so lovely, and she was so nice.
Yeah.
She was smoking hot, too.
I
remember that.
Did a very good job, yeah.
She did a very good job, said the husband, who's very well trained. She was smoking hot. She was very proficient.
Yes.
She was freaking smoking
very
hot.
Very professional.
I want to go to Comic-Con, so I watch what I say.
Exactly.
We have been married long enough for this stuff to happen. I'm always impressed when he answers my questions with this really ambivalent, wise comment. He's so good.
I'm taking notes.
Yes, he says that every time I ask him something, regardless of how innocuous it seems, a little image of Admiral Akbar appears above my head and yells, "It's a trap!"
I know. Admiral Akbar, should have a service for relationships. Whenever you get a tricky question, just this picture of Akbar appears. It's a trap! And no matter what it is,
totally,
it's a relationship trap.
Well, those Twix commercials are kind of close, where the woman asks the guy that some kind of a leading question that's totally a trap, and the guy just shoves a Twix bar in his mouth, and apparently by mumbling with food in your mouth, that makes everything okay.
Yeah, right.
That's an okay answer to all the women in these commercials. That is not true to life at all.
What, shoving chocolate in your mouth?
Shoving chocolate in your mouth and trying to get out of it by going, not going to happen. If you did that to me, what would I do? I would say, that's okay. I'll wait. Go ahead and swallow, wouldn't I?
Yeah, while your hand is on my throat.
Mm-hmm, because I'm horrible.
You could also do the Simpsons escape.
Oh, yes, that's one of your early ones. He used to try that with me.
Oh, there's Admiral Akbar. It's a trap. There you go. It's great. Ezra just gave us
pictures. Yeah, Emily made those for a project.
Cool. What was it? I didn't see it.
Stickers.
Oh my gosh.
It's a trap.
You just happen to have Admiral Akbar stickers with you?
I gave him a bunch.
Yeah, I put them randomly everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he just happened to have them.
Yeah, slap tagging. How? So things could be traps.
But I put them on rat traps because I think it's funny.
On rat traps?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, at least you're giving them fair warning.
Yeah. Oh, but anyway, the Simpsons exit is where you're asked a tricky question and then you go, well, you see, the thing is, and you just run away really quickly. It just, you know, or just jump through a window or something like that. That'll get you out of trouble temporarily until you're caught or you come slinking home and try and pretend like nothing ever happened. Yeah. So, well, I'm not in trouble yet.
No. You're always a little bit in trouble, though.
Well, a little bit.
He comes home from places and he goes, "Hi, are you mad at me?" And my answer is, I'm always a little bit mad at you. And if I say no, then he goes, oh, God. You know, but if I smile and say, always a little bit mad at you, then he knows that he's not in trouble.
Yeah.
Because that's my natural state. It's just a little miffed.
Just a little.
All the time.
A little miffed.
A little annoyed.
But anyway.
Horrible life you have. So Comic-Con.
So Comic-Con. This year I'm on a couple of panels. 3 o'clock on Thursday, I'm on a panel with Tony Cervone, Spike Brandt, Jerry Beck, and a few other folks talking about the release of Warner Brothers and Tom and Jerry cartoons on DVD.
Ooh, yeah. That collection where they're doing chronologically all the ones in order?
I think so. You know, I don't really, you know, I never worked on the cartoons. You know, I'd have to be about 1,000 years old to have actually worked on the cartoons. I certainly have grown up watching them. I appreciate them. I know I'm going to get questions about, you know, whether it's the proper color or the aspect ratio or something.
I'll be sure to ask them.
Yeah, I don't know anything, you know, other than the fact that I'm there mostly as a fan of the stuff and can speak on to that regard, and I'll let Jerry and some of the other guys handle all the tech questions. It should be a fun panel. And then after that, I've got about an hour's worth of press on the Arkham City game. And then at 5, there's a big panel where we're going to show a lot of footage of the game. And that's going to be me and Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill. And cool. I think Paul Crocker is going to be there.
He's coming all the way from the pond.
I think so. Sefton Hill is going to be there.
Sefton!
A bunch of the game folks are going to be there. And looking forward to it. I think Jim Lee is actually going to sit in on that panel because he did a lot of the designs for the game, too.
Interesting. Oh,
yeah, it'll be a good show.
Because that release is coming out soon, right?
Yeah, October. In fact, there was just released tonight a new clip of the Riddler. And the Riddler looks really bizarre.
That's Wally Winger.
Wally Wingert.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is playing the Riddler.
And you're doing some voices in there too.
Fiona.
And are you doing the voice of someone Batman saves, like hanging over a pit or something like that? Oh, your clip is in there too.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
She's like a doctor intern, like a young.
I think so.
Female intern. Her name is Fiona.
Yeah. There's a shot of Batman swinging through and scooping somebody up. So that.
Oh, I'm sure there are several of those.
That could be that. That
could be mine, but I don't know. I did several. I did a dispatch voice. I did a radio voice. I did some Arkham FM station IDs. I did the voice of the Natural History Museum.
Right.
I did a bunch of like little incidental things. It was really fun.
History Museum. That's got to be exciting for you to have in the game.
Natural History Museum. Yeah, we always thought that was going to be a great.
Spoiler alert. Are we allowed to say that?
Sure. Why not?
Okay. look at that bright red. We should see Ezra's face. He looks like the Joker. He's like,
I got something. Got some info.
No,
hey,
issue.
Shut your face.
Issue 3 came out.
Yes, issue 3 is out.
And that had the Penguin's Lair in it. And the Penguin's Lair is adjacent to the Natural History Museum. So
okay,
that's
the Steelworks is adjacent. Okay.
Yeah, so right. I mean, he's looted all the Arctic and Antarctic animals to furnish his lair, like Mr. Burns. He's got a big polar bear there and
nice.
And a stuffed Smithers.
Stuff Smithers, yeah. that would be a good trick to get that in the game. But there are little Easter eggs throughout the games, little things here and there, you know, like for the Bat fans, you know, like old posters and old signs, you know, tucked up out of the way, and that's a lot of the fun of the game is planning some of those things.
Yeah. Well, you had written all those tape recording things for the Riddler in one.
All
those little
game.
Easter eggs.
Oh, really? You wrote
those?
Did
you find all those?
Yeah, those
he wrote all those.
And I wrote a bunch of other ones for the second game, too. So, Riddler's a fun character to write.
Oh, yeah. He's one of my favorites.
I haven't heard Wally's voice for him yet. Is it delicious?
It's fantastic.
It's very good.
Of course it is, because he's brilliant.
Yep.
I love Wally.
And that's it. That's it for my panels, although I am doing a signing. Gosh, the next morning is either 10 or 10:30 with Kevin and Mark and a couple of others from the game. And I'm not sure where it is. I guess you'll have to look at your programs if I if I can't announce it next week, but it's either 10 or 10:30. There is an Arkham City signing somewhere. Hmm. And that's kind of it for the big show for this year. Other than that, I'm just going to run around looking, maybe buy some books, commission some artwork, and maybe we'll do a little sightseeing and have some fun.
I remember that one year we went, there was a sandcastle building competition.
That was fun. That was over in Coronado.
Very cool.
On the beach at Coronado. Yeah, it was great.
And that was an accident, I think, that we found that. We didn't plan to go there.
I think you had heard about it or something, where you had said, hey, you know what? Also in town, there's a sandcastle competition.
That does sound like something I would do. I'll tell you, for years, I have wanted to go to New Jersey and see the Crustacean Beauty Contest.
Is it New Jersey or Maryland?
I don't know.
Somewhere on the East Coast, but it's right around my birthday.
Yeah, it's always the first week of August, and we never get over there.
Maybe this week. Maybe this year.
No.
Crustacean?
Because that's just a week from now, 2 weeks from now. That's
okay.
No, we're not going. We're going to miss it.
Okay.
You know, we could have one here.
Crustaceans?
Yes, we could just get some live crabs and lobsters and get a banner and just have them walk the crab walk.
Yeah. How long do you think they would last with Rashi and a hammer? Rashi, how does that sound to you?
That sounds like I got something else to sharpen.
He'd be doing like the live cracky crab thing, you know, like at Chuck E. Cheese where you hit the crab and everything like that.
Like whack-a-mole.
Yeah, yeah. He'd be going to town on that thing.
Totally.
But then again, if we steam them first, them's good eating. When my grandfather had a seafood restaurant in Boston, and I learned how to cook all that stuff. And you know, you just cook a lot.
You learned how to shoot rats with a gun at your grandfather's restaurant too.
Well, yeah, because
did you tell that story?
There were some big ones there.
Oh yeah, he told a little bit about rats.
About the gangster that worked at his grandfather's restaurant and had a gun and shot a rat in the head?
No, not that. I've heard about shooting some form of rats, the rodents.
Well, yeah, I mean there were some monster.
It wasn't in the restaurant proper, it was in the storage area.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, the restaurant was very clean. You know, but would you like to tell that one?
No, well, you know, Boston, there's all sorts of, you know, humongous rodents prowling the streets, and there was like a giant rat that, you know, made its home in the alley outside my grandfather's restaurant. And one of the chefs was a man of a rather colorful background, and he always had a piece on him at all times. And one day the rat, you know, kind of is nosing around in the alley and decides to try and make it in, at which point the chef sees him and knocks him silly with a rolling pin, just like beats his brains in, like he's not getting up.
Wow.
He's, you know, beats him to death, throws him in the trash can. You know, that's the end of the giant rat. Well, about 5 minutes later, the rat recovers and comes back in. At which point, the chef pulls his piece and just blows him in two. And the rat didn't come back from that.
And the rat came back the very next.
But the lunch crowd is starting to assemble in the dining room. And Mandini's is on Tremont Street. And they had a lot of politicos there, a lot of senators. And the mayor would eat there, and the governor and everything.
The Kennedys
would eat there and everything, yeah. And so they're all, was that a gunshot? And it's like, yeah.
Everybody's just laying on the floor. We good to get up?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's okay. The giant rat's gone. But yeah, that was that was kind of legendary. I would not tell that story, except the restaurant has gone out of business 20 years ago.
Well,
so
that's
it's like, I don't worry.
There is, however, another Dini's restaurant on the West Coast now, apparently.
Yeah. It's No relation, but it's actually on the way to San Diego. It's over in Oceanside, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's right overlooking the water, and some relatives of mine have eaten there, and apparently it's pretty good seafood, fish tacos and seafood and things like that. So that's...
Now, was that your grandfather's specialty, was seafood?
Yes, seafood and Italian food, you know, like...
Cuisine.
So there were things like spaghetti and ravioli and a couple of other Italian dishes on the menu, but it was mostly seafood, you know, prepared kind of Italian style with breadcrumbs and olive oil and a lot of yummy things on him. His classic dish was called scrod. And scrod is like the filet.
That's creative.
The filet of young cod. And, you know, so it's baby cod filet. And it was very delicious.
How was it prepared?
It was a simple filet, and it was brushed with butter and then put some breadcrumbs on it, a little squeeze of lemon, then under the broiler. And
that sure sounds good.
It was good. I can make it. So
I would like that.
Yeah.
Will you please?
Yeah, I don't.
How spoiled am I?
Welcome to Iron Dini.
Yes, here we go.
You know, we were talking to somebody the other day, and she really pinpointed him, and she looked at him and she goes, "You do realize that deep down inside, you're just a frustrated chef."
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he was like, "Yeah, I guess that's true." And she said, "Maybe you should, huh, Lauren?"
Oh, yeah.
And she advised us that for his retirement that he open a restaurant.
Very nice.
And it is in his blood. I mean, both his mother and his grandfather, avid cooks. His mother, who we were going to have on the podcast last week, but Paul will just have to do her voice.
We mistimed it. Yeah.
But she flies to France to study with Jacques Pepin.
Oh, wow.
And
that was here. That was like...
Oh, she studied here with him, but she flies to France to take cooking classes.
She does. She does take cooking classes.
Wow, regular child.
She is amazing.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She made that... great salad for 4th of July. It was
yummy.
Avocado salad.
Yeah, people were calling for the recipe. She wrote it down. It's on my desk. Mm-hmm. You know, we could put it up for the Radio Ration listeners.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They could try it. That might be a nice, you know, patty special. Boy, it was really tasty.
Mom does a lot of cooking with chicken and herbs and very, very French provincial type cooking. Whereas my dad's side of the family is more hearty, you know, traditional Italian.
Comfort food. Italian comfort food.
Yeah, but it's more northern Italian than southern Italian.
And what is the difference?
Southern Italian is a lot of tomatoes and a lot of garlic. It's like the traditional, you know, red tablecloth type spaghetti and meatballs, ravioli type food. Whereas northern Italian is more emphasis on, you know,
white sauces,
lighter sauces, olive oil, risotto, rather
sort
than
sort of like
spaghetti.
What you made with the anchovies. Is that more of a northern Italian dish? Gwyneth Paltrow pasta.
Oh, the Gwyneth Paltrow pasta. I don't know. That's Paltrowese, wherever that came
from. Paltry.
No, it was actually really good.
Just
but,
like chicken.
There was
that would be poultry.
Gwyneth Paltrow was on the cover of Bon Appetit magazine a couple of months ago, and she had this spaghetti recipe, and I was going, and it came with you know, anchovies baked with breadcrumbs, and I was going like, oh, I'll try anything with anchovies on it. So I made the spaghetti. It was very, very good. So props to her for that one.
It was really tasty. Yeah. It's like summertime comfort food.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's perfect summer pasta because spaghetti on a hot summer day is too much.
Too heavy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is like, it's got, he roasts tomatoes for like
8 hours.
Was it eight?
Yeah. In the recipe, you take like a fourth of a cup of olive oil, maybe a little pinch of salt, and then cherry tomatoes or grape tomatoes. And you roast the hell out of those suckers for between 4 to 8 hours. And when you stir them, they just sort of disintegrate into soup.
Mm.
And then at the same time, you take anchovies and you take like a breadcrumb mixture with some olive oil. You pack the breadcrumbs on those. You bake those. So you've got like the anchovies are, you know, like crisp with little breadcrumbs on it. And then you... you make another sauce. The second part of the sauce is you make with crushed tomatoes. You saute that with some garlic and some olive oil. I'm probably leaving out one or two things, a couple of herbs. And then at the very end, you throw in some basil. Then you mix the whole thing together and you top with the little crusty anchovies and the breadcrumbs. And
or in my case, just the breadcrumbs.
Just the breadcrumbs. And
crusty anchovies. It sounds like a character on SpongeBob SquarePants.
Crusty anchovy. Anchovy crusty, yeah. But it was quite good. So and pretty low fat, other than, you know, just the olive oil and whatever's in the anchovies, I think, are, you know, that's the only fat you have to worry about like that. It's not like sauce that has beef in it that simmered all weekend. And,
right.
You know.
Well, as you call it, the gravy.
The gravy.
Yeah, spaghetti sauce. Italians, they call it gravy.
Nice. We've gone all the way from Comic-Con to, you know.
To Italian cooking.
What are you making
for us tonight, Paul Dini?
What am I making tonight? Hawaiian chicken.
Yes, and what does that mean?
That means it's chicken with a kind of a Hawaiian barbecue teriyaki sauce.
With pineapple and
cherries. With fresh pineapple and some cherries mixed into it, some sesame seeds on top of it, baked in the oven, and eat them up. Pretty good.
Yes.
Yum.
I hope it's good.
What did you say a minute ago, Ezra?
I said this podcast is making me hungry.
I know, right? You can have some Hawaiian chicken.
Can tie it back together. I'm looking forward, when we go down to Comic-Con, to visiting my favorite restaurant, Ho-Dad's.
Ho-Dad's? Where's that?
Ho-Dad's?
No,
it's
what's
down
that?
Near Oceanside, is that where it is? I heard about this from the iFanboy gang on their Taste of Comics podcast.
Okay.
And it is the best hamburger joint I've ever been to. It's a little surf shop side hamburger joint, and it always has a line down the block, but it's worth it.
Wow.
The chocolate shakes are delicious. The onion rings and bacon are deep fried for your burgers and stuff. And, oh, it was delicious.
Deep-fried bacon.
Yeah.
Three heart attacks.
It's perfect.
Now, is this in Oceanside, like the area where they have, there's like a Joe's Crab Shack and a couple of other things, like, you know, right by the water?
I think so, yeah. There's a strip of different shops just leads all the way down to the beach.
I don't know Hodad. I've never eaten there, but there is that really great fish and chip shop there. The place where we pulled off the side of the road, we brought Mark Evanier to, where they have the fried fish, and there's always a line outside that place, too.
Oh, yeah.
And it is amazing fish, fresh caught, and it's served on big paper plates, and everything is good. The tartar sauce is good. You don't even need it, you know, but they have everything, like fried oysters, big, huge pieces of fish. The chips are really good. It's just wonderful. It's right in the same area. If that's where I'm thinking of, the Joe's Crab Shack is the big restaurant, and there are all these other places. They're like T-shirt shops and candy places and ice cream. It's all right there. But that sounds really good.
Delicious stuff. Yeah.
We're not driving though, because we don't get to pull off the side of the road. We're taking
Where's that place that we always like to eat, the fancy seafood place, Star, whatever it is.
Oh, Star of... Is it?
I want to say Star of the Sea, but that's not right.
Star of the Sea, Star of India? No, the Star of India is a boat. Yeah. I think it is...
Star of India is also a restaurant, but it's near Detroit. Restaurant.
But there is
What's
a...
What's that place where you eat with Chip?
Yeah.
We ate with Chip Kidd.
Yeah, I'm blanking.
I haven't seen him forever in love. Hello,
well,
Chip.
Well, we're having dinner with him Thursday night.
Yeah!
Oh, very nice.
That's going to be a fun dinner. That's Chip, Kevin...
Mark.
Us. That'll be a good time.
Yeah.
But there's Roy's. We go to Roy's a lot.
We like Roy's Hawaiian cuisine.
Roy's Hawaiian. There you go.
Oh, man. I love sea bass so much.
Oh, yeah.
Star of the Sea, Little Italy on Harbor Street.
Star of the Sea. Yeah, that sounds good. So, Misty, is there anything at Comic-Con you want to get?
Get? Like buy?
Yeah.
No, I'm very excited about Jeff Loeb's Marvel TV panel, though.
Oh, okay. All right. That'll
Can't
be
say
fun.
Any more than that other than I would like to go to there.
Okay. All right.
Very excited. I love Jeff Loeb.
Oh, he's terrific.
He's so awesome.
We have some questions from the fans.
Oh, I'll read them. How about I read and you answer?
All right, but we need to.
We have to play that cool thing.
Cue the music. So let me crank up the music box here.
Questions from the fans.
Emily, I like your hair, by the way. It's really, really beautiful. Is it green or turquoise?
Both.
Yeah. It's teal.
You should just say yes.
Yes.
It's also purple. Two purples.
Yes.
And a red.
Spectacular. She's like a walking box of crayons, but it's really classy, and she looks really beautiful. All right. So S. Sofwin says...
That's glass of win. For whatever reason, it got cut off.
Glass of win.
Mm-hmm.
Who's GLA is missing. That
was me. I copied it onto another piece of paper.
Okay. So here he's asking you, or she is asking you, what do you think of the Harley Quinn redesign and what would you do differently?
I don't know. I mean, I thought the character was perfectly designed as she is. I mean, that's a very iconic outfit. I think Bruce, you know, scored 100 on the first try. Certainly better than my attempt, which you can see in the Batman animated book, which looks like ass. But it's the new version of her is like, well, it's, you know, it seems to fit the mood of the book and what they're going to do with her. So, you know, I reserve judgment until I can see how it... You know, to me, the character is more than just a costume. Let's see how she performs as a character in the book.
Okay. Justin Risner, JRR121, our old pal. Hey, Justin. How are you doing, my phone buddy? Am I the only one disappointed that NBC didn't pick up the Wonder Woman series?
Yep. I think so.
I think you are, Justin. Sorry.
I don't think anybody was really looking forward to it. We were just sort of watching it with amusement.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, never fear if you're at Comic-Con, there will probably be hundreds of bootleg copies.
You'll get the pilot.
You'll see the pilot at some point.
Podcast, do you already talk about the DC relaunch? That was Beetle of Earth B, Brian Shears. Hi, Brian.
We haven't talked much about the relaunch. I don't know anything about it. So, you know, I don't know. I only know what little I've read online about what they're planning on doing with the characters, but I haven't seen any artwork. I haven't read any stories. I guess I'll find out with everybody else.
Well, in keeping with that, Burzo12 is asking, are you going to be writing any more Batman stories outside of the video game stuff?
Nope.
Warren Schultz asks, looking forward to seeing your latest work in that one, sir. That's not a question. Warren, fail.
Oh, okay. Next. Well, he probably meant the video game, because I also posted, here's what the Riddler looks like, so.
Not fail. Yeah. Win not fail. For Warren Schultz. All right. Sorry, Warren. I didn't realize it was Paul's error.
What?
Boy, I'm nasty today. Maybe I should have a cup of coffee. Okay, Lindsay Wolf says, are there any new Joker Harley Quinn books on the horizon?
I don't know. If there are, I'm not writing them.
Okay. Mandy Wilson asks, I'm just going to move along.
Blast through them, yeah.
Mandy S. Wilson. Mandy Wilson. Hi, Mandy. When will you find out about Tower Prep? I miss it, and Pretty Little Liars is making it worse.
Oh, Pretty Little Liars. Drew Van Acker, our lead on Tower Prep, is now in Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know he's on that show, which I believe runs through the summer. Hopefully we'll have something for him to do in the fall. I don't know. We're keeping hope alive that we'll have some sort of an answer on this sometime soon, but I don't know. It's getting harder and harder to say.
Okay. Well, and that also answers 2014 Carrot Princess, Kiana Ferreira, who asked, is Tower Prep ever coming back? So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan, who is John_Nev7, says, what are your thoughts on the Harley Quinn redesign for the launch, which you answered already? And his second question is, will Sirens or anything new you worked on be coming out soon? That was a paraphrase, but it was close.
No, I'm not doing any comic book work. The only comic book work I have coming out is the last few issues of Arkham City, and then that's it.
Okay, that also answers Ticklefist. Awesome name.
Ticklefist?
Ticklefist.
Wow.
Scott Edgar's question, which was, I would be interested in knowing if DC has you working on anything. No specifics necessary.
Nope.
Jim Zupkovich, Double Guns, asks.
Yeah.
SDCC question for you, Paul. Do you find the big show still fun? Broad, but figured it might make for good discussion fodder.
I do.
You know, we should have Zub on here.
Yeah.
Zub and Ray.
Yeah, yeah.
God, they're fun. Do you know who they are?
I don't know.
Jim Zubkovich and Ray Fox. Oh my God. Udon is where Jim works.
Okay, Udon.
And Ray is a writer and an artist. They're both artists. And they are brilliant, hysterical Canadians. Maybe the only two Canadians I like. No, I'm kidding.
No.
I'm sorry, Canada. I was going to
say, most of them are pretty funny.
Yeah, they're really nice. Yeah. Yeah.
But
these guys are just, they're amazing. Hi, Jim.
Do I still look forward to the big show? Yes. Here's what I like. I like seeing friends. Mm-hmm. I like discovering that great piece of artwork that I never knew existed and that I can actually afford. I like getting new books at Bud Plant. I like having dinner with old friends and just palling around and doing stuff. I like walking around San Diego. It's a very pleasant city. I like, to some degree, seeing the creative folks in their costumes parading about. There's a lot to like there. I like going with you, Misty, and just hanging out and just taking it easy. What I don't like the crowds. Mm-hmm. I don't like fighting to my way to get to a booth where they have toys to look over a new toy line I'm interested in, only to be, smashed down out of the way. I hate anything worn on the back of another person, you know.
What?
Backpacks, you know.
Oh.
Now,
I'm like, what are you?
It's like backpacks, like people are taking all their possessions in backpacks, and they smash around into you. And
do you know what he loves, though? Utila kilts.
Oh.
Well, Paul's favorite utility article of clothing.
I make fun of the utila kilts, but I'll say right now, if you could put everything in a backpack in a utila kilt, that would be a more manageable way of doing it.
Oh, yeah.
And the Evermanly holster. Greg Sipes manufacturing the holsters.
Yes, he has the Manly holsters.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's an actor, a friend of ours. He creates
these Beast Boy on
Teen Titans.
Teen Titans.
Oh.
He has these holsters that hold cell phones and
everything.
Wallets and everything.
Cell phones, wallets, everything you can imagine. And he's really, really eco-conscious, so everything he does is like super organic and earth-friendly, and he recycles materials and stuff. And everything that he has is it's designed with that in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really neat.
You have to get one of those. Although I think I'd have to be a special order because I think I'm a
Well, I think they're all special order right now. I don't know how much he's charging for them, but they're really cool.
Get some measurements made.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think, the thing is now, it's like just the crush of the crowd and backpacks getting smashed into me and those big poster tubes that people wear over their shoulders.
And I hate rascals.
I love
rascals. Running over my toes. Oh, I
could rascals.
Oh, I love them.
But even like strollers. I mean, why take a baby stroller on there? You know, these people are going to just step on the child and everything.
Maybe that's the idea.
I can't imagine the child is having fun either.
No.
Just tortured in that little case at fart level.
Yeah.
It's
And the mother, and on the other hand, the mother is like aiming for ankles, you know?
Yeah.
And then you get, and that's not even going, you know, getting into the Fett family. Boba Fett, Jango Fett, all the Mandalorian guys with these huge fucking backpacks on them. You know, I want to make a movie, which is just me, straight to the camera in the middle of Comic-Con going, George Lucas, it's me, Paul Dini. You probably don't remember, but I worked for you for like 7 years. I was that guy you always said, you know, you always kind of looked at and said, do you work here? But I'm talking to you in a different capacity. I'm talking to you from the point of view of a fan who has to go to these conventions, and they get smashed around by the stormtroopers with their damn guns, and the Boba Fetts and the Jango Fetts and everything with their damn backpacks. Please, please, have characters with pockets. All right, you know they just put everything here, or the Han Solo vest. That was great. That was exactly. A great way to store things. You don't need backpacks and rockets and everything, because these people will just make it, and then they just smash into you over and over. The injuries I've suffered from stormtroopers alone. Please, please stop.
Zub, I think the answer to your question is no.
Yes, I'm enjoying it. I'm going to enjoy a lot of
it. Yeah, that was hard to tell there. Right?
But also, I'm going to simply remove myself from the more painful aspects of it. If I see the Mattel booth over there and I want to get over there and it looks like the ending of the Day of the Locust, I'm not going to go over there.
I remember when we were at Disneyland one day and he looked around at the crowds and it was just wall to wall. It was like Christmas week or some stupid time to go. And he looks and he goes, my God. And I said, what's the matter? And he goes, it's a candy-colored Day of the Locust. And I said, would you shut up? Can we just move on?
You know, there's like
he
a visual.
He hates crowds. He hates pants.
There is a visual
pun. Say something nice.
There is a visual pun I would love to photograph at Comic-Con. And that is, I would like to get like the guy in the walk-around Homer Simpson costume, like screaming, being borne away by the crowd. Because I don't know if you've ever read the novel, The Day of the Locust. The protagonist is named Homer Simpson.
Oh,
and at the end,
I didn't realize that.
The climactic event, it takes place on Hollywood. It's a movie written, it's a book written about Hollywood in the 30s. There is a stampede in front of the Chinese theater at the opening of a movie, and this Homer Simpson is he goes nuts and he kills a kid. So the crowd turns on him. But at this moment, there's this crush of the crowd and everybody and it's like they lynch him. They just tear him to bits on the spot. And that's what Comic-Con is like, but I would love to see that with an actual Homer Simpson walk-around character. That's a, I mean, five people would get that.
Yeah. You know?
But I think it would be amusing. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. All right, well, you inadvertently answered Mike McCallan's question, which was, hey, I'm a virgin Comic-Con, or what should I expect? If you're in a
Day
stroller,
of Locust.
Oh. You absolutely know what to expect. And stay away from stormtroopers, because they'll gouge you with their...
Just go with friends, you'll have a good time.
Leek Chan would like to know, or Leek Chan... who is your favorite comic book character right now that you haven't written?
Hmm. Oh, there's so many.
Quick, one.
Oh, I don't know. Captain America. You know, no, wait. No, I did something with Alex Ross. The Thing.
The Thing?
The Thing.
The Thing's cool. A good
okay.
From
the Fantastic Why? Quickly, why?
He's funny.
Fair enough.
He's big, strong, funny. He's pathos. I always like The Thing. Ben Grimm.
S-Linus 27, will we see any new Madame Mirage anytime in the future?
Boy, I hope so. You know, I was supposed to talk to the guys over at Top Cow today.
That was about something else, though, wasn't it?
No, I wanted to talk about...
Mirage. We should mention...
Well, the other thing I wanted to talk about was the...
Harvey Award.
The Harvey Awards.
He's nominated for a Harvey.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes.
Jingle Bell.
Jingle Bell, Grounded. Me and Stephanie Gladden got nominated for a
Harvey. Oh, Stephanie Gladden, the artist on all our Rashi stuff, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right. The beautiful and wonderful Stephanie Gladden.
Yes, and talented. Nice.
Yes, it's best title for young readers, best graphic novel for young readers. So,
isn't that
so
cool?
Everybody vote. Yeah. For Jingle Bell Grounded on your Harvey Award ballot.
Yeah, we'll put some Twitter and Facebook notifications for voting for you, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so Madame Mirage is a maybe. You got to work stuff out with Top Cow, but there is some... I mean, you guys
we've written some new stories, so yeah. It's just a matter of figuring out when those are going to appear.
All right,
and I think you had another one also.
No, I only have one from S. Linus, but
I wrote it
Aaron
on the back.
Fever. Oh, on the back of the page?
I think I...
You did. Okay. I just didn't see it.
Right.
This is Donovan Jones. Hi, Donovan. I remember Donovan from your life journal. If the Carpenter was in an animated Batman show,
yes,
who would you like to voice her?
Probably you.
Why? Thank you.
Because you remind me of the character. I mean, you...
Because I'm always walking around here with hammers.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
it's true.
Like 2 years ago at Christmas, you pulled my mom's wall apart and reinstalled that new shower.
Her shower, yeah, I did.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's always home remodeling going on here. There's always home remodeling going on here.
Yeah, I don't always do it here, though, because it depends on how extensive it is. But I did redo his mom's shower while we were there, because she was like, oh, well, you know, it's just not working. And I turned it on and I was like, good Lord, woman, you're not exaggerating. And off I went to the hardware store and I was like, are you guys open on Christmas? And the guy said, let me tell you something, because I'd never done any kind of plumbing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was a poor kid, you know, so I know how to take stuff apart and put it back together, because you have to fix what you got. You can't go buy new.
Right.
It's not an option. And so, you know, I drove a car whose bumper was held on with a bungee cord for years. You know, you could throw pennies out a hole in the back seat. And it was just, you know, so you learn to fix stuff is all I'm trying to say. I know how to fix tires. I know how to, you know, usually, like when the dryer went this week.
Yeah.
He says, well, I don't know what's wrong with the dryer. And he kept throwing clothes in and turning it on.
And you said,
and I listened to it. I said, it sounds like the heating unit is spinning, but something's loose. I said, I don't know what the structure of the inside of the dryer is, but there's probably something that has come loose, like a belt or something like that. The heating unit is trying to kick on, which is why you're hearing that whirring noise, because it comes on intermittently, but it's not catching properly because something's been jarred loose. And sure enough,
it was a solenoid.
Thank you very much. And it was, which is not a belt, but it's, you know.
No, but it was the thing that.
But it was exactly what I was talking about.
Right, yeah.
It was the problem. I just hadn't torn apart the dryer to take a look at it. So the guy came today and fixed it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I know enough about that stuff because I had a dad who taught me that. Mm-hmm. And how lucky am I to have such a cool dad?
Yeah, but you could, yeah, I mean, you're always building stuff. You build a lot of your tricks.
I build them all.
Build your illusions and everything like mm-hmm. that. So you're very handy with that. And I think when I hear the carpenter's voice in my head, I don't hear like a caricature voice like Harley Quinn. I hear someone who's like, you know, 25 to early 30s, kind of peppy voice, maybe a little bit of a tomboy.
Just doing her thing.
What?
Just doing her thing. Just trying to get through the job.
Yeah, but you know, someone who's always kind of strives to be friendly and upbeat, and even though she's kind of like, you know, either skimming money or robbing the guy or, you know, cheating the guy on the side.
Just like home.
What? No. Yeah, but you could do that voice fairly easily.
Oh, nice. So, thank you. All right, Aaron Poole, whose name is Aaron Fever. Last question, and then we'll wrap this up, I guess. Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried to give Rashi a little cameo in the background of a comic you've written?
Oh, yeah, all the time. He's shown up all the time. Like, he was in the Kyle Baker book, the Jingle Bell book.
Yeah. He was huge in there. He was featured.
We were all in there. That one. And, usually in Jingle Bell, she's always, like, working on a pile of sock monkeys. So Super Rika and Rashi, they were on the cover of the last one. Mm-hmm. She was stuffing them in Christmas stockings. Mm-hmm. And then they had their own little story in that book, too. So, so Rashi definitely, you know, should, trying to get them in the comics. Not so much the stuff that's published by DC or other places, because, you know, it's like,
well, it's a proprietary rights issue.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've pitched it to major studios. We had a pitch meeting with a major studio once, and they were very interested.
Yeah.
But their guidelines and regulations were, well, here's the thing. We want Misty on camera. We don't want her doing Rashi. Mm-hmm. And Paul said, that doesn't make any sense. She is Rashi. You know, I mean, not to break the illusion or anything, you know. Mm-hmm. But the lady was like, yeah, but we want to redesign him, and we want to own him, and we want our guy to do the voice. And Paul's like, then you don't want Rashi. Yeah. And they're like, no, we want Misty. And we like the idea, but we don't want her to be Rashi. And Paul was like, you don't get this. Yeah. We're leaving.
Yeah.
You know? And it was very amenable. I mean, it was a very nice meeting, but they couldn't wrap their minds around it. And I said, you know, can't you just hire a really young, super mega hot girl to play a magician and then let me do Rashi? Because if I had my druthers, as opposed to sitting in hair and makeup or horsing around behind a wall and being like a jerk, you know,
exactly.
Hello, I would much rather sit behind a wall and horse around and be a jerk, you know. But they were like, no, we want to own him, and we want to redesign him and revoice him and recreate him, basically Frankenstein him from the ground up. And Paul was like, that doesn't even make any sense.
No, I mean, you know, it's come down a few times, like there have been offers on our characters. And, you know, with Jingle Bell, actually the same company made an offer on Jingle Bell. And it was like, you know, we insist on total, complete trademark ownership and everything. And I can't do that, you know.
Well, yeah, and they wanted you to pay, like, a stipend or remove.
Well, that was somebody else. That was another company.
No, it wasn't. It was the same company.
No. Well, oh, okay.
Yeah, it was the same deal. They wanted him to pay back as part of, they were going to give him an X amount of dollars to option/own the property. And they wanted to develop it as a movie and do all this other stuff. But Part of that deal was any merchandise he had sold, because Jingle Bell has been featured in bobbleheads and lunchboxes and jerseys, and like he's got a lot of product out yeah. there, especially as somebody who works on your use-based trademark paperwork.
Yeah,
I mean, there was a lot of work. I had to take pictures and categorize all that stuff and inventory it and price tags and all this. I mean, it's a real pain in the butt to work with legal on that, but they wanted him to take all the money he had made, prove how much money he had made from that stuff, and deduct it from what they were offering.
As well as surrendering all artwork.
Saying like that technically they should have made that money yes. and you yeah. owe it to them even though they're buying yes. it from you. Yeah. That's
yeah, awesome. I mean, you know, it's like...
It's not great. Awesome. It was oh. the worst was deal ever. I mean, and when he walked away, he was abused. Was
I mean, weird. I've heard from a lot of creators who say, oh, I made this great deal for my character. Of course, I own all the merchandise rights, blah, 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 blah. The book hasn't come out yet. I'm looking for somebody to write the book. Hey, Paul, are you interested in writing the book? You know, I don't know how they swing deals like that. They must have... magic wizard agents that I've never met or I don't have access to, you know. But with Jingle Bell, it's always come down to, of course, you know, here's a craven sum of money, and now we own all rights to the character, and we won't even validate your ticket on the way out. I mean, Tower Prep taught me a lesson, you know, always retain some of the rights so you can at least pick it up and take it someplace else.
Yeah, in case there is interest in other places.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, you know.
Well, and also that way
you aren't maintain... just sitting on it and saying, yeah. Well, I don't know what,
well,
I don't
yeah,
know what
to do with
it. Well,
yeah, because the thing with Jingle Bell was that they actually had another Christmas-type movie coming mm-hmm. out that they felt was close enough to Jingle Bell, where Jingle was kind of a threat if Paul were to make Jing.
So they just want to sit on it? Just
they wanted to vault it and
yeah,
kill it.
Yeah, just so they wouldn't have competition yep. or worry or anything.
They wanted
any
to vault
trouble.
It and kill it. Mm. Yeah. And I mean, it is fascinating to me that that's the way that works sometimes. They just wanted to eliminate any potential competition out there. So they were looking at yeah. other properties that were close and just trying to buy them up.
Yeah, that is actually one of the more frustrating elements of Comic-Con, is going down there, you know, with properties. I mean, at least for me, it was like, you know, it's great for some guys, you know, oh, my comic book, you know, I licensed it, now it's a hit TV show, and they're talking a movie, and I'm making all this money off of licensing, and you know, for whatever reason, it's with me, it's like I talked to one guy down there, and he's like screaming, I own all the rights to this, because I'm... You know, we agreed, didn't we agree to that I would option this and shop it around?
You blinked while I was talking to you. That was an agreement.
Yeah, yeah, once was yes, man. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, no, I'll still create original characters, but I'm keeping them the hell away from that, you know. Yeah. It's like, it's just too maddening.
Can I get some seahorses for my birthday?
Sure.
I would like to keep them as pets.
You know, we have Christmas coming up between now and your birthday. Would you like them for Christmas?
I don't know. I was thinking maybe jellyfish as well, but the tanks are like 4K.
Well, it depends on how badly you want it and if we have room for it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't need any pets.
We have a pool out back, you know. There.
Ooh, there
they can't
you go.
Live out there. Oh. They're so fragile that they have to have special kind of tanks. I've been researching it.
Jellyfish?
Both. Jellyfish and seahorses. They can't, because if it's got too strong of suction, like a normal fish tank does, they get sucked up. And jellyfish have to have a constant flow of water in order to maintain their shape. Because they're 90, they're really, really a lot. I mean, I don't know how much, what percentage of their body is organic material, but they're almost all water. And they're so fragile.
They're water and stinger.
Yeah, baby.
Well, you know, bringing it back around, my grandfather's restaurant, he had a big tank of seahorses.
He did?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Man, yeah. I wish I could have seen that.
It was a great place.
What a privilege.
Yep.
You have led such a charmed, amazing life.
I was bartender there for years.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And a host for a little while, too.
No, just bartender.
Oh, what do I know?
Yeah.
All right.
That's fine. I mean, I think, is that it for the questions?
That's it for the questions.
Hey, Rashi, any final comments?
Yeah, get out of here. I got some shit to do.
Okay. All right. Well
this week is Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Look for me to get your Radio Rashi Monkey Club buttons.
That's right.
I'll be twittering on the Radio Rashi on where to find me best, or just look for, you know, sock monkeys.
Yeah, of course.
Now, are we going to patrol the floor with a recording device and get...
I will have a recording device. I just bought one this week that we can record on the floor.
Oh, nice. So we can do on-the-spot interviews.
Yes, we can.
We'll go bother professionals.
Yes.
Indeed.
And if you see me and you have some questions, we can probably get some live questions that we can disperse throughout the podcast.
You know what would be awesome is to put the microphone at dinner with Kevin and Mark and everybody.
Mm.
I don't know that they would agree to that, because it's going to be like old home week for you guys.
If the dinner happens, I mean, you know, it's like, so far everybody's agreed to it. But then again, that's the other thing about Comic-Con is like, things happen and change at a moment's notice, and you know, things are always fairly fluid. Mm-hmm.
So, looking forward to seeing everyone down there.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll see you at Comic-Con.
Bye, suckers. Come and see me. I'll be at Blue. pencils.
I don't think that's a real Booth.
I hope it isn't.
Yeah.
He's probably just going to wander the floor and, you know, or haunt, what is it, Hall 20 and just throw things at people.
I'm sure. He just hid in that garbage bucket last year and tossed out paper wads.
Yeah.
He gets these grandiose evil schemes.
I thought that was R2-D2.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anyway, well, we'll see you at Comic-Con.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes Store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter at Radio Rashi or @Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.